Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are honored to be with you for another lesson from James. Our study is in chapter 5, and we're coming to the end of this short, powerful book. We have two more lessons in our study, and just like the rest of James, these lessons are very practical regarding topics we always deal with. Today, we'll be thinking about encouragement and discouragement. This is a struggle we are familiar with. Life is difficult. We face many challenges, some from the outside and some from within. What should we do when we're discouraged? Where can we find more strength? How can we get out of bed to face another day? These are hard questions we struggle through when life is difficult. Today, our title is Lift Up Your Head, and J. Mark will give us three reasons we have to be encouraged. Let's go with him now to James chapter 5.
Discouragement. Is that a subject that you like to talk about or experience? I don't either, but we all face it. There seem to be an infinite number of things that can go wrong in our lives. In our previous episode, we observed how the wicked oppress the poor, how they exploit them for their gain. In the first 5 verses of the chapter, we looked at the warnings God gave to the wealthy. They seemed to forget that a day of reckoning was coming. In today's text, God speaks to the oppressed. You and I both know that when things aren't going our way, it's easy to become discouraged. Our vision seems to narrow down to the point where all we can see is the end of our nose. We forget that life is more than our present circumstances. James had a message for those who were discouraged, and it's a message for you and me too. That message forms the basis for the title of our study today, Lift Up Your Head, from James chapter 5 and verses 7 to 12. Listen as I read. That's James 5, beginning with verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits patiently for the earth's precious fruit until it receives the early and later rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brothers, take the prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. In this text, James provides for us 3 words of encouragement to help us lift up our head. The first word of encouragement is, don't lose heart. Now, Scripture uses the heart as the part of our being where we desire, where we deliberate and decide. It's the comprehensive term for a person's feelings or their desires, passions, their thoughts, their understanding, and their will. It's the center of the person. It's the place to which God turns. In verse 6, James discusses how the wealthy oppress the poor. The rich drag the poor into court and drag their worthy name through the mud. People experiencing poverty had no one who could plead their cause, and they were unjustly condemned. Doesn't surprise me at all that they were discouraged. But James' word of encouragement moves past the circumstances to the core of their being. He says, be patient. Don't lose heart, even after all of the pain and heartache and injustice you've experienced, because your cries have entered the ears of the Lord of hosts. He is coming in person to bring relief and to vindicate your good name. Now that's a word of encouragement. To illustrate this, James paints a picture that they could clearly understand. The eastern farmer waited for the early rain in the autumn to water the newly planted seeds, because wheat and barley were winter crops. The growing season followed, and then as the crop matured, as the heads of grain filled out, spring rains came just before the harvest. James ties the early and later rains to the coming of the Lord. He tells those who have been oppressed, just like the farmer waits patiently for the rains, you must wait patiently because the coming of the Lord is near. The apostles understood that the day of Pentecost was the early rain. God poured out his Spirit on the newly planted seeds and the newly ordained messengers of the gospel. Now, James was exhorting his readers to be patient and wait for the later rain or the latter rain, that outpouring that the prophet Joel and other prophets spoke about. Are we in the time of the latter rain today? Well, God's Spirit is moving in unprecedented ways, not so much in the Western world where I live, but in other parts of the world. And then along with these events taking place in other parts of the world, we see a growing spiritual coldness in the lives of many professing Christians who live in the West. And you know, Jesus told us it would be this way. People are losing heart. Those who were faithful for many years are now letting go of the truth and beginning to follow cunningly devised fables. They have grown weary of the battle against Satan, against sin, against self, and they are surrendering to their fatigue. But James says, don't lose heart. Keep the faith. Harvest time is coming, and then you will be rewarded. He has a second word of encouragement in this text. Don't lose hope. You know, hope is an essential part of life. The absence of hope is what? It's despair. And people who succumb to despair, they don't see any point in living. Death seems like the only option that will relieve their misery. James says, do not groan or grumble against each other, brothers, lest you come into judgment of your own. Isn't it true that we often look for someone to blame when the pressure is on us and we don't see any way out? James warns those who were suffering injustice at the hands of the wealthy not to respond in kind to those who oppress them or to their fellow sufferers. Responding that way would indicate that they had lost hope of future liberation. It's human nature to think there's no way out when we encounter difficult circumstances. All you need to do is read the Psalms, and you'll see how David and the other writers express this sense of hopelessness. God seemed unreachable, and my troubles are about to bring me to ruin. It's in those times we need to remember God's past dealings with us and with others. Suppose you were given an urgent message for a particular group of people, a message that meant life or death, and the one who sent you the message stressed its importance. But then just before you delivered the message, they told you, give the message, but the people will not receive it. They won't listen to you. James reminds his readers of Isaiah and Jeremiah. At the beginning of their ministries, they were told that the people would not hear the message God gave them to deliver. And yet James said, imitate the example of the prophets. Even though they started with the warning that very few people would listen to them, they didn't lose hope. Those whose hope enables them to endure until the end are considered fortunate. Here, James introduces the ultimate biblical illustration of endurance, the righteous man, Job. If ever anyone seemed to be unjustly treated, it was Job. By the confession of God Almighty, here was a man who was morally blameless and upright. And yet everything Job had was taken away. His possessions, his family, his health, and more. And his own wife, the one who should have supported him, said, curse God and die. But we know Job didn't give up. He said, oh, that you would hide me in the grave. Keep me secret until your wrath has passed. Appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. Job had hope because the judge was eventually going to come for him. Now, I don't want you to miss something else in this verse. James says, we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What did he mean by the end of the Lord? Well, the word means the goal or the purpose that God has in mind. God's goal in all that Job suffered was to bring Job closer to himself and to increase his wealth spiritually and materially. Satan, who was the other player in this cosmic theater, wanted to drive Job to despair, to bring him to financial and physical and spiritual ruin, to the point where he would actually blaspheme God. But Job had hope. And so even in the darkest moments of his suffering, when he despaired of life itself, he still had hope in God to the point that he could say, "Even if God kills me, I will trust him." James reminds us that in our suffering, God's goal is to bless us in ways we cannot see at the moment. But we must not lose hope in order to experience those blessings. There's a final word of encouragement then in this text. Don't lose honor. As we look at the last verse, you may wonder where I see that concept. James warns his readers about the danger of using an oath to establish the reliability of their word. And then he says, lest you fall into condemnation. Now, at first glance, we might think this means we fall into judgment. But that's not what James is trying to convey. It literally means the acting of a stage player, or one who pretends to be something he is not. In our common English usage, we call someone like this a hypocrite. And that's the meaning here. Hypocrisy is the antithesis or the opposite of honor. A hypocrite cannot be trusted. He cannot be taken at his word. An honorable man can. One is never really sure about the motives of a hypocrite. The Jews of that time took a wide range of oaths, and depending on which one they used, it indicated how likely they were to keep their word. Their oaths were like our childish actions when we made a promise to someone, but we had our fingers crossed behind our back. So when the pressure is unrelenting, we tend to vent our frustration to others. And James gives us a strong warning against this. In fact, he begins verse 12 by saying, above all things. The priority is, don't use an oath to prove your sincerity, or you may fall into hypocrisy. You will lose your integrity, and you will lose your honor. You know, as Christ followers, you and I will always be among the lower class in the eyes of the world. Jesus said it would be that way. But brother or sister, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. And above all, don't lose honor. Lift up your head. Be patient. The coming of the Lord is drawing near.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these three ways we can stay encouraged. This is good, and we want to apply them to ourselves. But we also want to help others stay encouraged. Lord willing, you will not only apply this lesson to yourself, but if you see someone who is discouraged, share these reasons with them. Just like Aaron and Hur supported Moses, may we lift up the arms of tired brothers and sisters. Together, with other followers of Christ, we can encourage and be encouraged. It was good to be with you for this study. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if you would like to hear other teaching from Heralds of Hope, please let us know. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can contact us via our website. The address is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, you can write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to being with you next week for the last lesson from the book of James. Here is the encouraging verse from Exodus I just referred to. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Be encouraged and go encourage someone.